Today on Real Radio.
We all have that question from time to time. God, why this? Why that? The more we ingest the truth that as we learn out of 1 Samuel 9 and 10, the fact is concerning the will of God in our life, he has ordained a specific plan for your life. No matter what it might be, I know that all things don't meet our liking. And the other amazing thing is he never consults us about what we like and dislike.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack continues in his verse-by-verse series through 1 Samuel. We're in a series within a series by Pastor Jack called The Will of God in Your Life. The will of God is so important in your life that Pastor Jack has decided to extend this series. Frankly, the phone calls keep coming in, so let's continue. The lesson is taken from 1 Samuel chapters 9 and 10. So here's more in this mini-series by pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs called The Will of God in Your Life.
1 Samuel chapter 9. By way of review, we remembered in verse 3, we saw that God has ordained a specific plan for your life. I don't know how that sits with you, but it is a fact. And the sooner you catch on to that fact, the more at peace you'll be in your life. You ever have that thing? You ever have that temptation? God, why? I mean, we all have. We all have that question from time to time. God, why this? Why that? The more we ingest the truth that as we learn out of 1 Samuel 9 and 10, the fact is, concerning the will of God in our life, he has ordained a specific plan for your life. No matter what it might be, I know that all things don't meet our liking. And the other amazing thing is he never consults us about what we like and dislike. Have you ever been in pain? You ever been in a difficult time? And the Bible, you know that promise that you reach for. The Lord will not give you more than what you can handle. Unfortunately, my opinion of that and God's are way apart. Because God thinks I must be much more stronger than I really believe I am. And when he turns up the pain-o-meter or whatever it is, you know, at about a 3, I'm saying, Uncle or Lord, that's it. And you know, he just dials it on up to about a 7. And just when you're about ready to snap, have you noticed? Then the relief comes. And you wonder, God, why do you do that? And I don't know the reason why he does that. I really don't know. I can only guess that maybe sometimes in my life, I realize that after going beyond a threshold that I didn't think I could go, he's still there. Now, I know he's there. We can answer that in a textbook. He's there. But in your crisis, do you sense him there? You see, when you're pushed to the brink and he's still there, that's a great thing. Now you've got a God that you can trust in completely. He won't be leaving you in the stretch. He's trustworthy. He's faithful. His mercy endures forever. We can read about it, but it's not true until it happens in our lives. But it will happen in the life of every true believer. God has ordained a specific plan in our lives. We saw that in verse 3. In verses 4 through 6, God is performing that plan in our lives. He's the one who will do it. I love that because if he's doing it, then why should I worry? In Philippians 4, verses 6 and 7, there the Bible encourages us. Don't be anxious for anything. You know what that word anxious means in Greek? It's our English word, yes, worry. But the word both in the English and in the Greek means that we are not to be strangled. That's what that word means. Don't be strangled. Worry strangles us. Have you noticed that in your life? No? I have. When we worry, it strangles. One of the first things it does for me is it strangles peace out of my life. Strangles peace. Then it strangles faith. Then, when my faith is strangled, I lose hope. Worry is so powerful, but yet it's so off. It's so weird. Because as much as worry steals from us, there is such a level of trust that people put in worrying in the world. Christians are not to worry. We are not. In fact, it's a sin. Listen, I don't mean to pour salt on your wound, but if you're prone to worry and you're a Christian, it's a sin to worry. You know why? Because we're not trusting Him. The tough thing is, it's so human to worry. And that's what we have to do when we trust in the Lord and not worry. Be anxious. We are not to be anxious for anything. And so we know that if God is performing all that there is to be in our lives, we can rest in that. You know, tonight, tomorrow, whatever you're going through, God is performing it. You can sit and ask Him and play the game 1,000 questions. Let me help you out. Just trust Him. He is performing His specific plan in your life. And then we left off last time. God will be controlling the specific plan. That's in verses 15 to 20 of chapter 9. God will be controlling the specific plans of our lives. And how does He do that? Verses 15 and 16, jot it down if you would. He will always be exact. He's a God of exactness, a God of great detail. Now the Lord had told Samuel in his ear. I love that. How did God do that? It says, that day before Saul came saying this, tomorrow about this time, I will send you a man from the land of Benjamin and you shall anoint him commander. Can you circle that word commander, please? We'll come back to that in a moment. Over my people Israel, that he may serve or save my people from the hand of the Philistines. For I have looked upon my people because of their cries, they have come up to me. I find it, first of all, interesting. Don't want to make a big deal about it. But I circled the word here, commander, because didn't Israel ask for a king? Then why doesn't it say king? Oh, don't get me wrong. Was Saul considered a king? Yes. And will God even say, this is your king? Yes. But interestingly enough, God is speaking to His man, Sam. And He tells Sam, listen, go, and here's the deal. About this time tomorrow, he's the guy. He'll be the commander. He didn't tell Samuel he's going to be king. Even though Samuel's office is not only a priest and a prophet, he's a kingmaker. And Samuel's going to tell Saul, you're the king. But behind the scenes, behind the room, back door, God talk, God says He's the commander. Because I got a king coming. And his name is David. And he's going to be the forerunner of the only king that there ever was, is, and will be. The son of David, King Jesus. But I find it interesting how exact God is. Don't miss a word in His Bible. He calls here Saul commander. But the Lord now is speaking. I love this. Look how it says that He speaks in Samuel's ear the day before the events. Man, I tell you, that's the accuracy of God. He's so exact. God is speaking to Samuel, and He's speaking through Samuel. Regarding His will, God is very, very specific. We saw that He's ordaining, He's performing, and now He's controlling. We have been chosen by God as Christians for God. We have been given the Word of God. That's what the mark of every believer is. A believer is drawn to the Word of God. A believer understands the Word of God. Yes, when we embark upon our walk with God, we're wondering, what are we reading? But as we continue on, He gives more, doesn't He? He gives more grace. He gives more understanding. As we grow in Christ, we understand more and more. That's the mark of a believer. Because you have been chosen by God, you have a hunger for the Bible. And that's a great thing. Controlling, we need to realize, also means that God will be directing. I know in our world we have a negative connotation about controlling, huh, don't we? He's a controlling man. Or she's a very controlling woman. Or a parent is often controlling over their children. Listen, to be controlling really also biblically means to be directing. God is very much into directing. And I love, you're going to hear this verse a couple of times tonight. Galatians chapter 1, verses 13 to 16. You can mark it down in your notes. Or you can turn there if you like. Galatians 1, 13. I love this. Those of you who were with us just recently in Petra, in Jordan, you're going to want to pay attention to this because this had something to do, or this verse has something to do with where we stood that day in Petra because Paul was there. Galatians 1:13 says, "For you have heard of my former conduct in Judaism," says Paul, "how I persecuted the church of God beyond measure and tried to destroy it. And I advanced in Judaism beyond many of my contemporaries of my own nation." Paul is speaking about his exploits as being a Jew, a Hebrew. "Being more exceedingly zealous for the traditions of my fathers. But when it pleased God," isn't that funny? He was doing everything against God. "But when it pleased God, who what? Separated me from my mother's womb and called me through his grace." Verse 16 says, "He revealed his son in me." Isn't that amazing how much God puts up with us until we come to the knowledge of him? It blows my mind. I think about the witness of a friend of mine. Well, of a friend of mine. He's sitting right there. I'm not paying a bit of attention to me right now. How what appears to be life's circumstances in Vietnam put him in a wheelchair. But he was the first one to open up my young Christian eyes to the fact that God, he believes God put him in that chair to get his attention. Because he was such a stinker, like we all were, that he wouldn't have listened to God otherwise. Now you might say, well, how come I wasn't? Or how come you weren't put in a wheelchair? You know what? For some it takes certain things, for others it's something else. But what blows my mind, and one of the greatest joys I've ever had, is to not only see this guy come to Christ and meet him and watch all the things that's going on in his life, but to see a guy, and some of you were with us back then, where he's got a heart to go to Russia. Russia is not a handicapped nation. They don't care. When you're, by the way, you don't see handicapped people on the streets in Russia. There's no place for them. But he got on an airline and flew on this trip. It was a terrible airline trip. And spent 2 weeks in Russia to share the love of God. And he witnessed and ministered to people that none of us could ever touch. And soldiers there that were out of fought in the Afghanistan war down there that we could have never ministered to. How does that happen? By God controlling and directing our lives from our mother's womb. And does it always meet our approval? No. My friend, listen, it's not going to either. Shall the clay that spins on the potter's wheel rise up and say, "Why have you formed me like this?" to the potter? Can you imagine? You're on the potter's wheel. You're just a lump of clay. And you're just there, and he starts forming you, and he makes you into an ashtray. And that ashtray says, "What are you making me like this for?" God could say, "You ungrateful, slimy, stinking piece of dirt." And throw you against the wall, right? He could. He made us. He's formed us. And he's called us from our mother's womb. Which means, really, that's very romantic talk. But what it means is, before the foundations of the world were ever laid, God had a plan. He ordained it, he's performing it, and he's controlling it in your life. How sad the world tonight. Tomorrow morning, they're being printed now, but tomorrow morning the world will wake up, run to the paper, and look for their daily horoscope. To get there, see, you laugh because it's a joke to you, thank God. But for some people, they're going to get up tomorrow morning and say, what am I going to do today? Businessmen, corporate leaders, executive power women, whatever position, are going to run to the paper to find out, what will my day be like today? Oh, I'm going to meet somebody interesting. Well, wake up. You meet someone interesting every day if you'll say hi. Just say hi to somebody. Wild. I was in Seattle. I got on an airplane and they totally messed me up completely. It was wild. I had a seat, had a window seat. You know, I'm a freak about window seats. Got to have them. Had it reserved there. It's all fine. And I'm getting on the plane and the lady goes, "You know, you fly us frequently. Why don't you stand off to the side for a moment? Because we have some open seats in first class. We're going to just throw you up there free." I say, "Okay. Thank you, Lord." So I stood there. And unbeknownst, I didn't know, they had a shift change right there in front of me. They changed, and that woman never communicated to the other woman.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio. in a lesson called The Will of God in Your Life. In fact, this is a mini-series taken from 1 Samuel chapters 9 and 10, and we'll continue with more of this fascinating verse-by-verse journey through this Old Testament book of 1 Samuel on Monday's edition of Real Radio. You know, the family of stations that carry Real Radio with Jack Hibbs continues to grow day by day, something we're pretty excited about. And now Real Radio can be heard on the east end of Long Island, New York. So we welcome our new listeners in and around Sag Harbor. All right, it's Friday, and that means it's time for another Ask Pastor Jack here on Real Radio. Ask Pastor Jack is a great way to get your Bible-related question answered right here on Real Radio. Just send your question to askpastorjack@realradioactive.org. That's askpastorjack@realradioactive.org. Sometimes we pull Pastor Jack into the studio here. Sometimes we'll hear him give an answer from the pulpit. Here's today's question. Pastor Jack, I know spending time with God is important, but I just don't have the time. What do I do with that reality?
Well, this is one reporter's opinion. If you don't want to spend time with God and he wants to spend time with you, he will get your attention. What does that mean? Whatever he wants it to mean. So what are you implying? He's God. If he wants to talk to you and you won't listen and he wants to tell you something, he has no problem having you stub your toe, break your nose, get in a car accident, get a pink slip from your doctor. He knows. C.S. Lewis called it severe mercy. Did you know that? You ought to read C.S. Lewis. You ought to read that. God will not. How could God do this to me? The answer actually is because you wouldn't listen to anything else. This is the thing that got your attention. Why? Because you're too busy. Now, let's be honest. I'm dead serious about what I'm about to say. Do you guys hate me now after tonight? Okay. Well, you will now. Watch this. I know spending time with God is important. Do you really? Well, how about this? I know eating food's really important, but no, the truth of the matter is this. You got to eat food to live, okay? And a married couple, there's certain things of marital service, if you want to put it so cold, that has to happen. Okay? Some people, look, we have marriage counseling, and some people reduce their intimacy down to maintenance. Well, I take out the trash, and it's like, oh my goodness. That's tragic. This right here, how about this? Spending time with God is absolutely essential for you to live spiritually. It's called abiding in Christ. Okay? I like to put it this way. Don't eat one morsel of food every day. Listen, don't don't put one bit of food into your mouth starting tomorrow until you have first had your private time with God. If you don't have a private time with God, start with that. Did you hear what I said? Don't eat. Don't eat. Don't eat. When do I eat? After your private time with God. Guess what you're going to do tomorrow? You're going to eat. You want to know why? Because if you put that, Jesus said it this way, man shall not live by bread alone. Why? But by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. So if you're having a struggle in this area, you will make time to eat. You make time for the lesser important things. So make a covenant with God. God, I'm not going to eat one bit of food anymore until I've had my time with you. Your flesh will wake you up in the morning and say, come on, spend your time with God. Spend your time with God. We want to eat. You say, well, that's kind of carnal. It's better than what you're doing now. And it's amazing. It's amazing. You are, according to 1 Thessalonians 5:23, you are a trichotomy. You are a trichotomy. Body, soul, and spirit. Bible says so. So check this out. Your body, you see your body? Your body is what you see. Your spirit is what you don't see. And your soul is what you sometimes do and sometimes do not see. Meaning, Your soul is in the middle. Watch this analogy. And by the way, I'm stealing this from a book called The Spiritual Man by Watchman Nee. If you're not a Christian tonight, your body tells your soul what it wants. You are carnally minded. You are fleshly sensitive to your appetites. Your body goes like this. Your body says, hey, let's just get loaded. Let's go fight. Let's go whatever. Your body just has appetites. And it's very loud. We all know what that's like. Your body will scream at you. And it will grab you and pull you down the road of what it wants. Your soul, listen, your soul, that is your mind. We mentioned it on Sunday. Your psuche, mind, soul, will listen to everything that the body wants. And it's the soul that will side with the body and make plans with the body. Are you with me, everybody? This is the non-Christian. But now you're a Christian and you're spiritually alive. Guess what you still have? You still have a soul and you still have a body. Okay? But if I keep feeding my body's appetites, my soul is quite thankful and happy to go with the body's decisions. My mind will go that way. But if I feed my spirit, the Word of God, there's no substitute but the Bible. If my spirit feeds on the Bible, okay, guess what happens? My flesh starts complaining about that. I don't want to do this. I can't give that up. Are you nuts? And the spirit is calm and the spirit says things like this. Sin shall not have dominion over me. I can't believe we're having this conversation. I want to have sex and I want to have it now with as many people as possible today. This is the flesh. It has no rules. It's lawless. My spirit, the born again me, says, that's the old Jack talking. Greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. I've been bought with a price. Therefore, I will glorify my body, which is Christ. Now watch this. In the middle, as Watchman Nee points out, the soul is the mistress of every man or woman. The soul is like this. The soul will yield to, that is your mind, will yield to whoever's talking the loudest and whoever's the strongest. You feed the flesh, the soul will say, what are we gonna do today? Tell me. We're gonna go jump off the cliff. Okay. If the spirit is strong, by the way, read Romans chapter 7 and 8. It's what it's all about. If the spirit says, no, we're going to wait upon God. We're going to trust in the Lord. He's going to renew our strength. The soul will go like this. I want to meditate on God. I want that. The soul will do or go with, the soul will submit to whoever's in charge. You know what the happy thing is for all of us who are Christians? Don't you have that war going on in your life? It's proof that you're saved. Maybe someone's here right now and they don't even know what I'm talking about. I don't know, boy, that's weird. That's weird. It's because you're not saved. You have no battle. One of the great indicators of being a Christian is that the moment you come to Christ, you have this ginormous war that begins where the flesh wants to do its thing and the spirit wants to do its thing, and whichever one you feed the most is going to win. And the key is to feed your spirit and you won't fulfill the lust of your flesh. It's absolutely awesome. Gosh, remember when we were not Christians? What a boring... That was so pathetic of a life. That's amazing. I love this war.
All right, that's Pastor Jack from the pulpit on finding the time to spend the time with God and His Word. Ask Pastor Jack. Email your question to askpastorjack@realradioactive.org. You may hear the answer from the pulpit. You may hear it when we get Pastor Jack here into the studio. askpastorjack@realradioactive.org. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio and made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at realradioactive.org. That's realradioactive.org. I'm David Jay. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time.
This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.